And welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM, RadioSt.Pete.com, and streaming live on StPeteSportsConnection.com on this 24th of July 2021. A little steamy today. Got a jam-packed show for you. I want to thank Joe Boudreau for getting me on right on time today. Guy's a wizard back in the studio, kind of like the studio here. Anyway, I've got Rock Riley on today. I've got, I don't know how to describe him. It's a gang of guys from the Northeast that will be interesting to converse about, because you've got Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, and now a converted Rays fan over there. So they had some fun conversation. They do a podcast. They drove up from Cape Coral, and I'm looking forward to talking to them. Of course, last night, I mentioned before, I am an absolute Olympic junkie. Ran track in college. It's my favorite sport. And I'll be breaking down on my social media for you the events by the day, the local talent. But what was interesting last night, I'm going to talk to Rock about this in a second, is that there were 62 Floridians last night. 61, I'm sorry. And there were 610 U.S. athletes. 10% of our team is from Florida. Now, coming from Iowa, which has a population base of 3.5 million, I understand there's 21 million here, but that's still astounding. That many world-class athletes representing 25 sports. I think that's absolutely cool, and we'll talk about some of those kids. Trayvon Brommel, the kid from Gibbs High. The Quarter Girls, Nellie and Jessica from Bradenton, phenomenal golfers. Nellie's right now ranked number one in the world. And then, of course, the phenom at 17 years young, Arian Knighton, the fastest teenager in the world. He destroyed Usain Bolt's 18 and under and 20 and under records, and that in itself is saying something. And that young man is something special. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And as I mentioned, Rock Riley, he has been on the airwaves for several decades. I'll leave it at that. But done a superb job. But the funny thing about it is that he was on a show called The Sports Connection on television. Now, you think that maybe that was plagiarism when I went with St. Pete Sports Connection. You can join me now and defend the name there, Rock. But I, when I saw your bio, I thought, I didn't live down here. I'm like, Sports Connection? I would have never got away with it. I had protected the name StPeteSportsConnection.com from Iowa in 2003, because I had visions of grandeur that I was going to expand my concept. And I did go Iowa Sports Connection, Kansas City. And only 22 years later, tried to launch this little project, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for coming and joining me.
It's a pleasure.
You might want to hit
We go. There we go. It's a pleasure and an honor, man, to be here at the legendary Fergs and being with you. No, actually, you're... The sports, St. Pete Sports Connection, it looks good. It looks real good.
We're getting there, brother.
Yeah.
The last time that you sat down here and did a show was Ferg's 25th anniversary. Right down here.
Yes, it was.
And that's when I met you for the first time.
I actually came here when he had first started this thing. It's that long. It is that long ago. This was a gas station.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
was a phys ed.
29 years ago.
Phys ed teacher. Took a chance on it, even before there was Major League Baseball here. And look at where we are today. Look at how St. Pete has grown. Just unbelievable. And even when the growth started down by the water, and it just slowly, it just kept coming up. It kept coming up and it coming up. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful city and just exploding, man.
How many years have you been in the area?
I'm over 20. I'm 25, 26, something like that, 27. It doesn't feel like it's that long ago. I was here when they were trying to get Major League Baseball. And Vince Namoli was the owner. And they used to send me, I'm the sports guy at 970 WFL Radio, and they were trying to get the rights. They thought baseball was going to be bigger than it was because there were so many baseball players that were here. Spring training was always successful, but that's Northerners coming down to get away from the cold. So they thought baseball was going to be big. And I don't think they were bidding against anybody. And they had me, as a sports guy, follow around Vince Namoli. He was a CEO of a company, And wherever he would go, I would have to just go, just to make an appearance. Hi, I'm Rock Rodney. I'm from 970 WFLA. And then I was down at the Breakers in Palm Beach when they made the announcement the Rays were going to get Major League Baseball, Tampa Bay. And so I've been around even before when the Rays started. You know what I mean?
The Devil Rays, right?
The Devil Rays. There was a – what it was is they did a phone – this is before the internet. They did a phone – vote, and you could vote as many times as you want. Devil Rays, there was a couple of other names, and one of the board operators who was, he did the Rush Limbaugh show.
Really?
And he didn't have anything to do, you know, and he had it down where he could actually fall asleep, and you'd hear that sounder when Rush Limbaugh, boom, you know, when he would go to break, and he was like, this is a true story. I've only told someone, he was like an atheist. And because of the name Devil, he voted a board op nonstop for Devil Rays just all day long. Devil Rays, Devil Rays. And they became the Devil Rays. Now, I don't know whether it was legit. And this was done by the Rays. I don't know if that was a legit contest or not. But, yeah, they were the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Oh, my word. Yeah, that's a great story.
Oh, my God.
And I'm certain you have many of them. You know, going back to Mark real quick, as he tells the evolution of Fergs, the arena football team was over here, correct?
Yes, very.
And
very
the Lightning.
Good. Yes, they said an attendance record.
Do you remember the name Billy McGee?
I do remember Billy McGee. Yes, yes.
The original president of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Billy may be making an appearance here today. He's got an event that we're working together with Mark.
God, and I haven't seen him in 20 some years.
Oh, and he is a character. So we had a meeting the other day, and he talked about the Lightning being across the street, and that's how he met Mark.
Wow.
And Mark actually asked his wife, Sherry, to get married at the arena football team, made a big deal of all of his customers, but this was like a quarter of the place, you know.
Right.
But
right.
That's arena football was in its heyday. I was in Iowa with the Iowa Barnstormers and Kurt Warner and those boys.
Sure.
And Jim Foster, the founder of arena football, was right. From Iowa. I just talked to him the other day. He and Billy McGee were buddies in the arena football.
Wow.
So the Lightning, they played over here. What was that like?
Yeah. It was good. I mean, it was... It wasn't made for hockey, but you know what? Fans loved it. I'm telling you, Wayne Gretzky came here. And here it was, like, you know, so hot and everything. And it was, like, unbelievable. Yeah. And it's funny. I have met more Lightning fans that have grown up here and learned about hockey through the Lightning. You know what I mean? It's not a Detroit. It's not a Montreal or, you know, like it is in Canada. And it's just amazing to me to see the fan support that the Lightning have gotten. And I think it starts at the top with Jeff Vinnick, the owner.
Incredible ownership,
right?
Everything
that he has done. What he has done in Tampa. He's building, you know, the Channelside area. Gives back, you know, $100,000 check every single game. They have had a sellout in over 5 years, every single game.
And they're not going backwards.
They're not going backwards. And in Florida. And, you know, Phil Esposito, I don't know if you've ever met Phil
Esposito. Yes, I did at St. Pete Country Club, actually.
Character.
He loves to golf.
Character.
They said, you want some humor for your golf show? They said, go out golfing with Phil Esposito.
Oh, he's funny. He can be one of those get-off-my-lawn guys, but a great guy. I've seen him at events. And when he gives his speech and he always talks about going over to Japan to get the money, and they were like, huh? And he goes, he's a hockey Hall of Famer. And all that he's done, he said his greatest accomplishment was bringing hockey to Tampa Bay, Florida. You know, and he said the owners were like, we give you all this money. We thought you said Saki. He said, no, I told you hockey. And it always brings down the audience. But Phil is a great, great guy.
Oh,
great
my guy. Word. Oh, yeah. That's classic. We thought you were investing in Saki.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question from a media perspective. You know, you talked about the Vinnicks.
Yes.
And the ownership of the Glazers. Can you tell a difference in the media rooms? I mean, I don't have a quarter of the resume you have with professional teams. Mine was mostly high school and college coverage. And
gotcha.
From the peewees, the preps, the pros, but just dipped my toe in there. So if I got to an Iowa or Nebraska media, that was my experience with it. Is there a considerable difference? Do they treat the media just as good as they treat the fans in these professionally run?
I think it's more of a league thing. Like, the NFL is so big that it's very, very hard to get credentialed. And especially now because of, you know, COVID and the protocols. I'm going through that right now. So the NFL is so big. You know what I mean? Major League Baseball. And also it has changed over the years, because when I first came down here and covering when the Bucks were really, really bad in the creamsicle, and then Tony Dungy, when Tony Dungy came, he was the one that really started changing the culture. He got them all to believe. The first year, they were terrible. They lost, but they all believed. You could go over to the old One Buck, which is right now across from where International Mall is. That International Mall was not there. There was a little golf course. It was called the Hall of Fame. And you could actually, anybody could go and open the gate and go around the back, and their weight room was out on a patio. This isn't that long ago.
Oh my God.
You could do that. Now, to even get through the guard shack, it's so different. So, I mean, I think times have also changed. Media, it's a little bit easier with the NHL, the hockey. You know what I mean? There's more demand trying to cover the NFL. And then goes Major League Baseball, I would say. And then NHL, you know?
So, for the most part, you almost have to be a beat guy. This is your
yes.
baby. Like
yes.
my buddy Mark Topkin. He's
yes.
baseball primarily.
Right.
And that's the way it's gotten. I mean, the capability of providing a lot of content and diversity is tough when you're trying to keep up these days.
Exactly. And if you're not a media right, if you're with somebody that's a media rights holder, because these companies, these big companies, like if you're ESPN or you know, media rights, they have more access if you're on that beat than you are than Joe Blow. You know what I mean? Because they got to protect their assets. It's millions of dollars.
Cash is king.
Right. Now, with COVID, it's loosened up, but it's still kind of tight, because now this variant is coming through. And, you know, like let's say tomorrow the Bucks start practice number one. Okay, they have their rings. NFL is here. Some teams started. The Steelers already started. It's here. Football season is here. Last year, Tier 1 media, it was only day-to-day beat writers, the Times, ESPN's Jenna Lane, The Athletic. You got to be there every single day. You got to be tested every single day.
You had to be tested every day,
every
too?
Every day. And it was so limited. And everything was Zoom. You were not allowed to do any interviews
at
all.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Oh, no.
How quickly we forget.
Now it's opened up a little bit. But still, I'm not a beat. I'm hoping, and there's a list, and it's daily, a daily list, that I'll be able to go watch practice from a distance. Then you got to leave. Then only the...
So you don't get any interviews? No.
And then you got to go. You go in your car, wherever, and it's Zoom. And then there's never a follow-up. And then there's so many people on a Zoom call, they're only going to pick eight. Maybe if you're on a Zoom for 2-3 weeks, maybe you'll get one. They'll pick up your call.
One morsel.
It's just changed. And it's what we're living in. You know what I mean? And, like, the NFL is so big. It really has changed. Very, very hard.
I think I'll keep my focus, Rock, on high school.
You can. Problem is there's so much interest, though. People want to know about Brady. They want to know.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Ratings equals revenue, so it's kind of tough. You can do – I tried the preps. The preps was – we tried that Brightell Sports Network. They did a whole – we were 24 hours, you know – all high, we were trying to all high school network, but in the end, it's hard, because if you ask me, okay, Clearwater High School football, who is their starting running back? I don't know, and I do this for a living. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
You ask me the Bucks. You ask me, okay, Ray's got Nelson Cruz. How many people know? So it's great to give them a platform, give them publicity, pros, and I mean kids. They love it. They probably love it when you show up. No one, oh, wow, I'm going to be on TV. I'm going to be on radio today. But in the end, the audience isn't big enough. If you're not related to that kid and that family,
emotional equity,
you're not going to care. So, you know what I mean? You got to pick your pull. But if that's what you love and that's your passion, More power to you.
That's a portion of it. What we've been doing, and we're very fortunate. I've got relationships with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, Barry Smith, and you know Barry.
Right.
I've been blessed there, and I've been blessed with the NFL Alumni Tampa chapter.
That's great.
So we're having conversations for our demographic
right.
of guys coming and sitting down and, right. and going back in time. Did you ever have your paths crossed with Rick Nafe, who used to be the operations?
Oh, great guy. Big ball, bus chops. Likes to bus chops.
Oh, my God.
Very funny jokester.
My word. I had him down here about a month ago for a conversation, and he just told me spectacular stories that people don't hear, and that's what you do a lot on your podcast.
I'm more of a storyteller. Like, yeah, I follow the X's and O's, but there's a lot of guys that do X's and O's, but you got to find your strength.
Yeah.
You find your strength, and you build off of that. I'm more of a people person. Rick Nafe, people person.
Great guy.
Stadium operations, you had a lot of responsibility on
your shoulders. And he had great conversation. He provided me with stories about Whitney Houston and Paul McCartney and Wings, diversified to know what he had done.
Yeah.
So let's go back and let's get the Rock Riley resume. Now, you're a Jersey kid?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so go from there and your progress of how you kind of accidentally got into radio.
Yeah. Well, I knew what I wanted to do. My wife always kids me. She's like, "Oh, you always try the easiest way out." Yeah, I guess so. I want to have fun and
work smart, not hard.
Right. So no, get out of college. Can't get a gig.
Where'd you go to school at?
I started at St. Leo. Actually, made the team baseball as a pitcher, as a walk-on from New Jersey.
Oh, right, so, down here.
Leo. Division II.
Great
good,
school.
Good baseball. Good baseball down here because it's year-round. It's like, oh, man. I thought, you know, you're in high school in New Jersey. You hit the number 7 or 8 batter. Oh, my God. You just throw a fastball by him. You get down here and everybody is, like, just as good. And it was a rude awakening. It's like, all right, I am not. And then you go to spring training games and you get down near the bullpen. You know, whether it's Lakeland, it was Clearwater. Well, they didn't have it in Clearwater then. No, they did, Jack Russell. But, I mean, I was a realist. I'm like, all right, I am not going to be good enough to play pro baseball. All right? I did pitch for years in the amateur leagues here, all men's leagues, all the way till 50.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ferg,
good for you.
I think Ferg gave us the jerseys 1 year we were sponsored by Ferg. But he knows. Ferg knows. Because Ferg was a basketball guy.
Oh, he's still playing.
I was a baseball guy.
He's still playing.
I don't know how he does it with his knees. So, anyway, to make a long story short, I get out of college, and
new sponsors, Coppertail.
I love right it. Thank you. Yeah, the man.
I wouldn't bring you down here without some incentive.
Oh, my God, it's a little early, but, you know, there you go.
Hey, it's 12:32.
There you go. I love it. Thank you. So, anyway, get out of college. You got to work for free. Local cable. Do news and sports. Boom, boom, boom. Then I get a really strange first gig in radio. This owner was weird. I had to investigate the police chief. It was weird.
Oh, my God.
But I got in.
Down here?
No, Jersey.
Okay,
Northern New Jersey.
Okay.
Then I get at this station, WSUS, Sussex County, New Jersey. That's really up there by Pennsylvania and New York State, the tri-state area. Small market.
Okay.
I'm there 5 years. Then they start getting into local cable. Then I go to Plattsburgh, New York / Burlington, Vermont, an NBC affiliate. That's like about a 94 market, 94, 95.
Gotcha.
In terms of broadcasting,
gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm there only 6 months because my wife at the time, I was 27.
Just a pup.
She was 29, but she had cancer. She had cancer, sorry. Started at breast cancer. She passes away. So when it was getting bad, she was a school teacher. She was going to go. But I knew when I got up there and you got like 3 minutes for your sports and I was able to like hit it. And I just knew like I know I can. There you go. I said, I know I can do this. But it was coming back. So I came back and I did line painting, which I had done in high school. My buddy had a business and this and that. And boom, boom, boom. So she passes. Then I get a job at New Jersey Network, public TV. But we had sports people play, magazine show. Like you do a piece, 5 minutes, you know, like 48 hours.
Sure.
It's a sports thing. But it's in the New York market, so you had to be good. Philly, New York, and New Jersey. So I'm there for a couple years. Then FNN used to be Financial News Network on weekdays, and weekends it was FNN Sports, national.
Really? I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah,
what
yeah,
year
yeah.
would that have been?
Oh, this is back in 90, 91. So What happened was, I'm at New Jersey Network. I'm covering a Mike Tyson fight in Atlantic City. I'm sitting next to I'm sitting next to one of the anchors for FNN Sports, Hugh Millay. He was out of Cincy, but those guys were all in L.A. And I'm just hanging with him at an event. And sometimes you can connect with somebody. And I said, hey, if you guys ever end up expanding, man, like, you know, to New York or something. I know you guys are all out of L.A. That was that. So then Todd Marinovich. I don't know if you ever remember that quarterback. He was USC.
USC. His father.
Yes.
Know the entire story.
Okay. So they're playing Notre Dame at the Meadowlands. I'm covering it. And
what were they doing playing Meadowlands?
It was just
I'm a big Notre Dame
USC,
fan.
Notre Dame.
Great rivalry.
I cover it. I take the mic flag off from my New Jersey Network, and the photos are, what are you doing? You freelancing? You better give me some money. I'm like, be quiet. And I do my stand-up. I send that to them. It airs. So that's how, like, oh, they kind of like that. Then I did something else. I covered something else for them because you got to hustle to get to the next level. So I do something else, and then I get a call. They said, listen, we're going to expand. We're looking for a reporter to cover the East Coast from Denver over anything that happens, and it's just NFL, MLB, NBA, I get the gig. So now I am freelancing for FNN for 2 years. I'm covering Cubs in the NLCS. I'm going to NBA Finals. I'm covering training camps.
They're paying for all this.
Oh, yeah. But freelance.
What a great job.
Yeah. So it's going great, all right? But here's broadcasting. It's going great. We see in USA Today, the CEO, Earl Bryan of FNN, is nailed for embezzling millions of dollars. We're like, uh-oh, our gigs are going to go.
I don't mean to laugh, but those things have happened to me in my life, too.
Right? So the producer's like, we all got to start looking. And so I'm overqualified. I'm applying at markets like Pensacola, wherever there's an opening maybe, and they're like, you were a national sports reporter. I'm like, listen, I'm 30 years old. I'm fine. I can work locally. So I was out of the business. And we moved I moved to Denver with my
ex. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
I moved to Denver, Littleton, with my ex.
I just left Littleton 2 weeks ago. My son lives there. I lived there in the 80s.
I saw that.
I didn't know you did the Rockies.
I love it. Well, it was my ex. My ex. We decide. We don't have any kids. We drive. We're driving to go to Vegas because we didn't have any kids, okay? And you can only do that when you're younger.
Oh,
you
know
what I mean? Let's go. You ready?
Pack up your car. Let's roll. Get your bags back.
Let's sell the car. We'll get the U-Haul. We'll pull your car. Let's go. We're going. We get to Denver. We go down the interstate. I pull off. Going down to the foothills. We pull in this community of condos for rent. I call up and I say, listen, I'm a national sports reporter. I'm just getting transferred here. Okay. It was that easy. We rented. We went back. Boom.
What year was that?
That's like
93?
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
Yeah, you couldn't do that now there.
No. Isn't things different? It's so expensive now, right?
Unbelievable.
So to make a long story short, it didn't work out. She gets a job as the general manager of the Colorado Rockies. She was his secretary. Because she was an executive secretary in AT&T. So she had a good background.
Wow.
But she gets it. So now I'm sitting in Cherry Hill.
They go from the Bears to the Zephyrs to the Rockies. Zephyrs.
There was nobody in the stands. I went to a Zephyrs game and the guy's yelling and the pitcher steps off the mound. When there's nobody in Mile High Stadium, you can hear that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I used to go. I had season tickets in the mid-80s when the Broncos made 3 appearances of the Super Bowl and got throttled. But I had great seats. So then, being a sports guy,
Wait a minute. Were you living in Iowa driving, or
were in Denver? I lived in Colorado during the 80s.
Where? What part?
Well, I lived downtown, a block from Larimer Square.
Oh, my God.
I lived in Parker on the golf course there. I loved it. And then my ex decided to go back home to Iowa. And now my son is living the exact same life I did. I went to all the games. I was at the Denver Bears, Broncos, Avalanche, Nuggets in the Alex English days, and I was just immersed. If I hadn't moved to Florida 5 years ago, I may have gone west. It's a young person's town now.
Oh, it's so expensive.
Oh,
and with the medical marijuana, once that came in, the homes, I mean, they're going crazy here, but it's you couldn't live there, right?
My son in Littleton, he does well. He's 30, 31, no kids, same kind of deal, and his wife successful. They bought a house that you would have seen when you're in Littleton, probably built in 1962, four bedrooms. Nice little pad. $520,000. Now, this is a nice house. I would love to live in it. But this is live radio. You can put that right over here where all the action's at.
I loved it. Delicious, by the way. Little copper tail.
Hey, they have a brewery.
Love it.
They have a brewery over in Tampa that has a restaurant, too, correct? So one of these days,
nice.
I'll invite you, and we'll go over there, have a nice bite, because we have to try it and talk about it on the air.
Right.
Okay,
I love it.
So did you get involved with the Rockies at all?
No. So she was there. She goes to spring training. They were training in Tucson. Blah, 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 blah. But our marriage was just not working. So.
Been there, done that, buddy.
There's an opening at Fox 13. I call up Chip Carter. He said, we already filled it, but there's an opening at 970 WFL Radio, and it doesn't pay much. And I'm like, I'm by myself.
Back home.
I want to get back in. I you know.
That's a great signal, too.
So. And Ted Webb was the guy, main guy, and he was the greatest guy. So I end up, I come fly in. I do a show, a test show on Sunday night, blah, blah, blah. I went to the library, man, and I got newspapers. This is before. And I studied the Lightning, everything local, so I would know, you know, for like two nights. And I do the show. I do a good job. He calls me back up right around Christmas Eve. You got the gig. And boom. And I came, and I've been here ever since.
Well, and you've done an incredible job.
So, and I'm trying to stay in the game.
Well, when I tell people, well, I've been telling people for 2 weeks, I'm really trying to get you on because I respect you.
Oh, I appreciate
And now
that.
I respect you even more of what you went through. And I tell these people, do you remember a lady named Brandy Winans?
I do.
Brandy said to I tell you do. Hello.
Yes,
she's
hello
joining
back to
me.
Her. Excellent.
She's going to be a part of the St. Pete Sports Connection.
Excellent.
And that's, she's going to be our ambassador, because I didn't have these connections. If it wasn't for the Barry Smiths and the Mark Fergusons,
right,
the Brandy Winans.
It is about connections.
And the Wayne Hogans and these people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the capability.
Right.
I might have dug you up on my own because that was a memory from the past, but
right,
they have propelled me, and I've been very fortunate. So Brandy said to give you a shout
back
out.
Back at her. Tell her hello. Yeah. Tell her hello.
Well, she comes on. She's very good on the radio as well.
Oh. So what happened was, so I'm doing radio. But I knew I had a TV background. I was still young enough. And Bay News 9 starts. And they're going to do 24 hours local news, weather, and sports. And a heavy focus on weather. Because there was a no-name storm that came. And they went like 24 hours full. That's how more. You notice how the weather coverage is so given so much time here? That they were really the ones. Because they had the time. They were a cable. They were on 24 hours. They weren't 6 and 11
or 5. They needed content.
Yeah. And so that they made their mark. So I go on one of their I give a tape. A buddy of mine was directing there. He had come from radio. And they give a tape. And the head guy, who later did hire me, but at that time, you know how when you give a tape, they listen, or it's you got to make an impression right away. He looked at my tape and he said, bad dresser. He didn't like the jacket that I had on. So that was it. I'm like, I'm not going to get the gig.
Bad dresser.
So I come on as a guest, and then I was on as a guest another time. And then one day I filled in. And when you get a chance to fill in, you got to nail it. You know, that's always the biggest. That's the biggest key to getting your next thing. If you ever get a chance, you take that opportunity, and if you do good. So I did okay, and the boss came, and he goes, listen, I'm going to blow out the number two guy, weekend anchor, weekday sports reporter, but I'm going to watch tonight. I'm going to see how you do. And I'm like, oh, my God. So Brad Culpepper, who played for the Buccaneers, played for the Gators, he's a lawyer in Tampa. I said, will you come on? He came on, but we had a limo deal. That's how to get big, current athletes. You got to have a limo deal.
I should do a trade.
Barter system with a limo company, and it's basically 2 hours. I'd always get their address.
That's a great idea.
We pick you up, we bring you to the station, and you're gone. And they'll be like, hey, man, what if I want to go out like later? Hey, that's on you. You talk to see if they're booked after that. And we had that for 14 years. That's how I was able – that's the only way to get them to drive on their own.
You just gave me a great idea.
Yeah.
Because Barry's got all these people to line me up, and I say, can you come down to Ferguson? Man, I live over in Tampa. If I could shuttle them over here.
That's how you do it. That's how I did it for 14 years. So anyway, I said, will you come on? He came on. He killed it. He crushed it. The boss said, okay. And then I got the gig.
And so, change your wardrobe.
And change my wardrobe. Oh, he took us shopping with the girls. He would make us go in and tell us what we wore. That's TV.
Oh, my God.
That's TV.
Reminds me of Michael Corleone when he's talking to his nephew in Godfather 3.
Right?
He's got the leather jacket on.
Right? Oh, it's great.
Get yourself a suit.
That was great. Such a great movie.
Okay, so, yeah, I wanted to talk about the Rockies, that experience. You know, I went to several. I've been in that park probably a half dozen times. But I thought about it, and I wanted your opinion on this. What a great location. And I used to live, like I said, in Larimer Square, and there was nothing down there.
Remember?
Warehouses.
Remember?
Crap area.
It was a crappy area.
Dangerous.
Lodo.
It was dangerous then.
Right.
Larimer Square was the cutoff for entertainment. That was
just
it.
Just starting when
yeah.
I was
And
there.
I lived in Brooks Towers, which is a half a block away.
Yes.
Anyway, I had a little company, software company. So now I tell my son these stories. You know, it's old man telling stories.
I know.
But in your opinion, do you think, and I know people say Tampa, they say Orlando.
Right.
But if you could take the concept and the smaller, you know, the size of their stadium is a little large for here.
Yes.
If you put that 28,000 seat option that they've laid on the table to put down there on the waterfront.
Yes.
But put it here, circled by all these sports bars and restaurants like they've done down in Denver. That is a great venue and a great environment for any game. It's a blast.
See, when they tried that with the sale over Al Lang on the water, and they were going to do that.
Yeah.
And it just, the people did not back it. Did not back it.
What was
but
the
I'll
reasoning?
Tell you what, well, there's not enough room. The parking, you got to build parking.
Well, look at San Francisco.
Okay.
You got the bay.
No,
it would have been great.
I know. But that was, that. Even though that was, what, maybe 7 years ago, 8 years ago now? I don't know how many, maybe. Look at the growth. Look at the growth of St. Pete since. It just does kill me because nobody likes the split plan of here in Montreal. That isn't going to work. No, it's hard to build a stadium. I've been doing this when I was at Bainers 9. It's 12 years ago. We did an hour special. We brought in Topkin. We brought in everybody, okay? What we did was we had reporters and photographers go to Lakeland. I was Palm Harbor. We had downtown Tampa. We had Sarasota. We had Bradenton. We all synchronized our watches. We left at 5 p.m. How long? Oh, to travel. Oh, to get to the Trop. It's so far. Everybody came. We did a whole documentary on
That's
this.
That's pretty cool.
Everybody got in their seats in plenty of time. Yeah, downtown Tampa and over the bridge, there was a little bit. Any major city, you're going to get it coming in. And that was 12 years ago, and there was no consensus of it. You know, there's money here. It is going to be built here. We do have a plan, and it's 12 years later, and it's still up in the air, half Montreal, half here. It's still no further along. It's a shame.
It's sad, you know, and as an outsider coming in and examining it, you know, you've been immersed in it. But here's one thing. I don't know if I had mentioned this. I worked for the Cubs in the mid-90s, late 90s, the AAA arm.
Yes.
Director of Sales Marketing, Assistant General Manager. So I got to know baseball pretty good. Is in Chicago often. So as I examine this, and I know how the owners think, and my buddy that worked for the Orioles said, these owners, they don't want a lateral move. If they're going to add it, they want expansion because of the financial ramifications.
Right.
They get more dough. The 32 billionaires all get another piece to their enormous pie. Am I correct?
You are so right on. So right on. Now, here's the problem. I have done this with Montreal media that are living up there. They don't have their stadium built at all yet. Okay? They don't. And they don't think that it's going to be funded for a part-time, half-the-season situation. So something is going to have to break. Now, Stu has told, I haven't interviewed Stu in about 4 years, since Bay News 9. He has always been straight with me and looked me eye to eye. And he goes, Rock, I will, now again, it's been 4 years, but I've asked him this several times. He goes, I will never move the team full-time, but I could sell. Not saying he was looking to sell. Not really looking to sell.
Everything's for sale, right?
Everything is for sale, and things do, you know, things do change over time. But it's a shame because hockey in 90-degree weather, and they sell out. They sell out. Full. Now, oh, it's 19,000, 20,000. Wouldn't you like to see the Rays get 20,000 every single night?
I work here for every home game for Mark. I'm kind of like the front of house.
Okay.
And I do my own little analysis just with, you know, this place can hold 3,000. Now, next week's going to be huge as always. You got Yankees in town, then Boston.
Right.
Big home series.
Right.
So I always walk around as I'm setting people, and I tell Mark, I always do in my head, okay, 14 tables for Yankees, 7 Rays. I do that analysis, and it's pretty simple math.
Interesting.
But that's the reality of it.
It is.
Unfortunately.
It is.
And people say, well, what do they average? I go, well, the pandemic didn't really impact them. Because do you realize until they raised it to 20,000 that the biggest game was the opening game against the Yankees, and it was 8,900. That was this past year. So we're back doing the same thing.
Same thing.
And someday they should do a movie on how these guys have manipulated their ability with a small payroll. I mean, no different than Moneyball. They should do a Moneyball.
No, it's incredible.
Don't you think?
It's incredible. I've been out. I went out to Oakland. I was on this movie junket thing where any sports movie that was big, I was the Tampa guy. And they fly you out. They bring you to Beverly Hills. I went to Oakland and the Moneyball, and I interviewed them. Billy Bean.
Did you? Was he a cool cat?
What's his name that played real hand? Brad Pitt. All those guys. And it was really, really
You interviewed him?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. I was very lucky. And
how was Billy Bean? Was he a good guy?
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was a good guy.
How about Brad Pitt? He's from Missouri.
Brad Pitt, when you see him in person, it's like he pops on the screen. Like every woman asks me, what was Brad Pitt? Yeah. Yeah, he's good looking. But he's not overly big, not real small like Tom Cruise, you know, and he's real mellow, just an average guy. And the thing used to be is you can't take a picture with him. You get 5 minutes. This movie junket thing, I was on it for years.
Who are you working for then?
Bader's Nine. But what happens is when a big movie comes out, whether it was I did Sly Stallone for the Creed.
You did?
Creed movie. Oh,
I'm a boxing nut. We got to talk some boxing before I let you go.
Such a down-to-earth guy for being as big of a star as
Sylvester
he is.
Stallone?
Oh,
I love to hear that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm a Rocky nut.
Oh, my God. And great. When he came in, I was like, holy. You get basically what it is you get 5 minutes. You go in. Two chairs are set up. They have a boom mic. They don't waste time, like, putting on a lavalier, small little mic. And you go in, and there's a guy with his thing. 2 minutes. Wrap it up. You get 5 minutes. And you ask him, and don't start talking to him when you get in. Don't waste your time. And I came in, and I sat down. What is it? They fly you in the night before. They have you watch the screening so you know what to ask the next day. And they'll have somebody from Chicago, somebody from L.A., somebody from New York. I was the Tampa guy. I was very lucky for years. Oh, and everything's covered, man. It's like $900 a night. It was a great gig.
They started, it should be rock royalty.
No, they started getting jealous at my station. I'm like, stop asking. Stop asking.
Don't tell.
Yeah. No, this is my gig. And I get in there, and I walk over, and I said, and it was like the first Creed Rocky movie.
Watch them all.
And I said, Sly, I cried like 3 or 4 times last night, man. And you know what? He loved that. He goes, interesting. That's what I'm trying to do.
Elicit emotion.
Boxing season. He goes, tell me more. And I said, okay. And I start doing it. And I said, listen, man, I am from Tampa Bay, and we've got Winky Wright. I said, we had Jeff Lacy, Tarver. And he's like, oh, I know. Like,
Keith Thurman.
Oh, one time. I just did a thing with him. He is one of my favorites. Have you had a, if you get a chance, he's living. Now, he's looking to get a better place because he just had a baby. He lives in one of the towers right walking here in St. Pete, you know.
Does he?
Yeah.
We need to talk about boxing.
Oh, he is the greatest, man. But anyway, the end of Sly Stallone, so down to earth, so good. And when I saw him in person, like, he looks fantastic. And everybody's like, I tell that, they're like, oh, how much plastic surgery? Yeah, he was on roids. I don't care whatever it is,
he
man.
Still looks good.
He looks damn good.
I just saw a picture of his daughters in the Post.
He's a family man, though. He
really is.
My wife, part-time at Home Shopping Network as a producer, and his wife flies in. Now, before the pandemic, now they don't even put mics on him or anything. They're doing a lot of home. She's got, like, some collection, some line, and no entourage, nice as can be.
Down-to-earth people.
Down-to-earth people.
I love to hear that.
Don't you, when you meet somebody really, really high up and they're down-to-earth, I love that.
Okay, now, a snippet about boxing. I was involved in Golden Gloves boxing. I'm still a member of USA Boxing, but coming down here, I wanted to get involved, so you might be my ticket. Because all these
I really
years,
don't know. I want
to go over to 49th Street, meet those guys, and just get immersed in helping kids in the boxing community. That's what I did with the youth. And you know, Des Moines, Iowa, 700,000. We did have an urban area, and I made a commitment to kids to work with them. So I had a gym, and we did all that for years. So, and that's how I kept fit. I'd be in the gym. You know, I wasn't exactly.
Did you ever box as an amateur?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't exactly Mick, you know, from Rocky, working with these kids, but I was the only white guy in the gym.
Where was this at?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
Oh, yeah.
What weight were you in those days?
Well, when I fought back in the day, I was 147.
Nice.
But
nice.
I had a wonderful record. I went pro one bout.
0-1?
0-1. Four rounds. Second round.
Hey.
Done.
Good for you.
I'm going to work with the kids. I'm not going to get hit by kids.
There you go. I have so much respect for boxers.
Oh,
even
and
pro
their
wrestlers,
workouts.
Anybody that has a physical sport, and usually the ones that are just on them, whether it's wrestling, whether it is boxing, whether it is even MMA, they're the nicest guys. And hockey.
Yeah.
They're the nicest guys,
I'm not
man.
Going out and want to beat people up.
That's what Wiki always tells me. He goes, oh, everybody, like, oh, I'm working out with the bag. Until you get hit. It's a whole different ball
tell
game,
people.
Right?
I tell people this, and then we'll get off this topic.
No, I love it.
When they start complaining, look at those guys standing there, heavyweights. And I said, I'll tell you what you should do. Go into your bathroom in front of a mirror, you clown. Stand there. Get a timer. Now, this is pro boxing. 3 rounds. And just throw punches for 3 minutes. Take a break. 60 seconds. And try that. You won't be able to go 2 rounds.
I love it.
Then imagine a guy 215 pounds chasing you around and going to knock your head off.
No.
Yeah, you can't do it. So,
so
quit complaining.
Respect. So much
so true.
Respect. And when you see them, were you good with the jump rope and like?
Yeah,
it's
I did all that stuff.
Dancing.
It was
like,
the chin.
How are you able to do this?
I thought I was emulating Sugar Ray and Muhammad Ali at my age, and I dropped the gloves like it was quick. Long blonde hair. You thought I was, you know, the
oh,
golden stallion.
You had long blonde hair then?
Yeah.
You were Marson, Tommy
that,
Marson?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the guy that took me out of the sport was from Omaha, Nebraska, and he looked like a mini Joe Frazier, and he fought like him. First round, I just peppered him. I'm scoring points, and my buddy is my trainer, and he was in the Olympics years ago, and Tony goes, get your gloves up. I go, I'm killing this guy. I'm gonna tear him apart. Second round, same thing. Drop the gloves. Boom, boom. He could have wrote a poster board. Here comes an overhand right.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Temple or right there?
Right here.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, enough of that. Trip back in time.
But I love the sweet science. Yeah. You mustn't have fought a long time as a pro because you don't have any marks. Like, that's always the sign. Fighters always eye up their opponent. Boy, if they got a lot of marks, that means they got crap defense. Like, I'm in good shape.
Yeah.
But if you don't have any marks and you've had, like, 40 fights or something, they're usually worried.
Yes.
I swear
Stick
to
and
God.
Move. Stick
no,
and move.
That is awesome. What do you think? Let me ask you just one question. I know you're asking me. This is your show. As a boxer, because I interviewed a lot of boxers about this, what do you think of the YouTubers, Logan Paul and Jake Paul, and the MMA guys, these guys coming over and making so much money in the sport of boxing?
I just said the sweet science, didn't I? And as I tell these young kids, and in my gym in Des Moines I did this, I would have kids come in because we were having a hard time keeping our numbers up for Golden Gloves. And we had novice division. You can come as, and you know, you're a young college kid, Drake University, you want to come to me, I go, sure. Oh, we'd love it. We need new blood. So they get in the gym, they said that you're the guy to show us how to throw jabs, you know, learn how to throw jabs. They go, perfect. I said, I'm going to get you in the novice division. You got 2 months to get ready. Oh, no, I'm MMA. I'd go, get the hell out of my gym because it was killing boxing. And I was a little brash about it. And then these two clowns, you know, and it's a money grab. At least when McGregor's fighting, at least he's a brawler. And that made some semblance of sense. But I'm old school, though. I'm 64 years old, and I don't dig it. End of story.
Only the real reason why I'm saying that, I did interview some boxers at the Florida Sports Hall of Fame in boxing induction.
I saw
and
that.
And everyone, They even had a roundtable. They are so – they feel the same way. Now, Tyson, it's funny. I saw Tyson the other day. He's friends. He's friends with the Pauls.
Well, and he's an entertainer too, though.
Yeah, he's like, look at what they're doing. Look at they're bringing eyeballs to the sport of boxing.
Exactly.
No, look at. So you know what? Until that, but
I love Mike Tyson.
All the old school boxers feel the same way. They are so pissed off, man.
Oh yeah.
These guys are making more in one fight than. But YouTube, it's just how it goes. They got millions of followers.
I'm figuring out YouTube for this, Dale.
There you go.
And my son last night says to me, like, your son, pops, you got to figure out TikTok. I go, I do goofy stuff on my show all the time. I can just film myself talking.
The young people tell me the same thing. I'm going to have to, at least for the media, but I can't. I know. TikTok, I know.
All right. Now, this is a tough question for someone like yourself.
I'm ready.
Especially this the snippets you just gave me.
Yeah.
Over the years,
yes.
Just give me two.
Yeah.
Of the most interesting human beings. It doesn't even have to be sports that you have had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with.
Ooh.
We better stick with sports.
No. Oh, yeah. No. That's good. I think we're going back a little bit, but to me, his aura being around him was Michael Jordan. I was able.
You're blessed.
Oh, my God. When he was at his heyday, I was at FNN, and we set it up that I was doing a story. It had to be some angle to get it because he's Michael Jordan. Just to get him for 5 minutes, one-on-one.
That's like 5 hours.
Oh, my God. And it was on Buck Williams. He was not a big name, New Jersey Nets, in the paint. Not a big name or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so that was going to be my questions. Okay, Michael agreed to it. You can go in the training room. Michael was getting taped at the time. I go in there with my camera guy. Can you imagine now? You can never go in the training room.
No.
You can't even get near, you know? And I go in there, and I said, Michael, I'm with FNN Sports, L.A. and New York. It's national. I'd always say that.
Yeah, to show the big market.
Yeah. And I said, I just want to ask you about Buck Williams. And he was getting – and he stopped, and he goes, oh, Bucky. Let me tell you about Bucky. When I come in the paint, I got to look where Bucky is. And, like, he went off on a long time. And he was really, really, like, you know, really, really engaging and good. Maybe I ask him one or two more. And usually I always behave like some guy, you'll say, like, hey, I got two questions if it's a big one. I stick it to two. So my your reputation in
Precisely.
This business, in life, is everything.
And
everything.
Not putting them on the spot.
You got it.
That's what I always did back in the day.
I bet.
Made certain that I never asked anything that was on the line. You know, I was never the Jim Gray of the world.
Right.
I know he's a great one.
That's how you get. I know.
But I get nervous watching him. I think, God.
I work with a guy that passed away, Dave Logan. That's how he became Weekdays.
Dave Logan from Colorado? And
No. Dave Logan is still at KOA, right?
Yeah, he's still doing good. Yeah, he's still
Dave
alive.
Logan was a brother, a player for the Buccaneers. He ended up being on the broadcast with Gene Dekaroff. He was the weekday anchor at Bay News 9, and I was the weekend. And he passed away of a blood clot. He was running every day, 40-some years old. But he told me, he'd always tell me, he'd go, what's with Jim Gray? Has he got pictures on somebody? How the hell is Jim Gray always in there? And I always used to laugh. Jim Gray.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And, I mean, it's amazing. Some people let him come back for an interview.
I know. He just did the thing with Brady. He's tight with Brady.
I don't know
if you saw that.
So, Jordan. That's huge.
We used to be, you'd shoot down low. Your camera guy would shoot behind the basket. And you would be able to sit, like, right there. And watching him in his heyday. Like, you can tell he's great. Just say the thing with Brady. Say it to Brady. There's something, like, special. There's an aura. You know what I mean? You can see it's Michael Jordan was one. Tell you another good story with Mike Ditka.
I got to meet Ditka.
Did you?
And Butkus and Gale Sayers. I'm very fortunate. And I'm a Packer fan.
Wow.
But
all right, here we go.
I love Ditka.
Here we go. Now, here's some pressure. I didn't mind it, but I was young. I'm at FNN. When they would send me out, being the East Coast reporter, anything from the Rockies here, when you get sent out on a story, all right, 2 minutes, 3 minute story, but
all that effort and energy for 3 minute story,
but for TV, but you can't come back if you can't say, oh, it didn't work out, he wasn't there, he blew me off. They've spent flight, rental car, hotel, You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was pressure until
$200 per diem.
Oh. And, yeah, there was a little per diem, two in a day. Man, it was great. But there was pressure. There was pressure. But I was young, 28 years old, you know. But I didn't mind it. But I was always relieved when I was on the flight back with my tape. The big tapes, three-quarter-inch tapes that you had that I would bring back unless you would go somewhere to find where you'd satellite it. So I go to they set me up with Ditka. Go to Chicago Bears training camp, which is in Lake Forest, Illinois. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Not training camp, where they practice.
Yep.
And they said, we want you to do a feature.
Training camp's in Wisconsin.
It's right. So it's 1 year since Mike Ditka had a heart attack. We want you to go. Wednesday, it's a, you know, media session. The NFL, Tuesday's always your off day. Wednesday, Thursday is your day for media. Used to be to go in the locker room. It's been like that for years. It always is. Friday, not so much. Okay, Saturday, walk through. So anyway, okay. So you go and find out how Dick is doing 1 year after his heart attack. Okay. So I fly. I go. I get my rental car. I get a map. This is before your phone. I go to Lake Forest. I go to the front door. Who's standing outside? Sweetness, Walter Payton.
Oh, my word.
I said, Walter, how you doing? He goes, hey, man, how you doing? Like, high voice.
Great, great.
Really nice man. So I go in, and if you've ever been the out-of-town guy at an NFL media, they're like, it's like such a click. I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah,
and
taking our time up.
Yeah. So I go to the PR guy.
Especially in those days.
Yes. I go, listen, I'm from FNN. My producer, I got to ask Mike Dick. He goes, oh, he's not. Oh, no, no. And it was supposed to be set up. The one-on-one, he goes, he's not doing one-on-ones today. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And he goes, listen, he's got the media session there here coming up, you know, 12:20. And you can try to get in a question then. And make sure you don't go before the beat guys, right? And I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting back.
Tribune
in the back,
boys.
I'm sweating. You know, so he's answering questions. I'm like, all right, I better get it in now. And I raise my hand. He goes, who the hell are you? So I say, yeah, I'm with FNN. He goes, what the hell is that?
Football News Network.
I go, Financial News Network. He goes, what are you going to ask me about my stock options? What the hell is that? I go, no. We're sports on weekends. And meanwhile, but I get my question in. I go like this. I go, coach, it's been 1 year since your heart attack. I want to know how you're feeling. And he goes, none of you other sons of bitches have been asking me how the hell I'm feeling. That's a damn good question. And the answer that he gave me.
Oh, my word.
I have stuck to this day. Do you know what his answer was? He said, I was out on the golf course the other day. And this guy's had bypass. This guy had a heart attack, this, that. You know what I learned? When I'm tired, I'm run down a little bit. Maybe I might have, back in the day, I had too many beers the night before. I don't tax my heart the next day. Take it easy. If you're not feeling strong, don't overdo it. And then he went on this long dissertation, and he goes, again, you with FNN. Thanks for asking that question. And I was like,
you're beaming.
I was like, I got that. Boom. So that to me was a lot of pressure, but that was
cool.
Oh,
my God.
Right?
That's fabulous.
I had a ton of them. But that was a good one.
That's fabulous. You know, I couldn't even scratch the surface, but I will tell you, gentlemen, that I was fortunate on three occasions. I had this little golf show on the tee. I'm launching it here, but I had it for 20 years. We had a Champions Tour event there in Des Moines in 1999 Senior U.S. Open. Arnold Palmer. I got to spend 20 minutes with him, and then, based on that conversation, I didn't ask him anything about golf. I was just so impressed of the human being he was. He would look every person in the eyes and ask them how they're doing, 7 or 77. So 2 years later, he launches an Arnold Palmer signature course in Polk City, Iowa, north of Des Moines. Gorgeous course called Tournament Club of Iowa. He comes out with Dr. Tom Davis. Ever remember that name?
I remember that name.
He was the University of Iowa basketball coach back in the day.
Yes, of course.
Dr. Tom and he are like this, and Dr. Tom's a big golfer. They called me and said, hey, the Des Moines Register isn't showing up. It was the Gannett guys. They didn't think it merited it. They had pro calls me and said, hey, Mike, can you come out? Now, I had my own company. I'm out ready. I'm dressed in a suit. I'm going to sell advertising. Said, I'll be there. And all my interns couldn't stand when I touched the camera. I grabbed the camera. They're all Drake University kids where Topkin went. And I'm grabbing a knife. I got to take these pictures. I drove around for 18 holes in a cart right next to him. And there was only a smattering of people out there, probably 500. And I got to spend that entire 4.5 hours in conversation, just small talk with Dr. Tom, who was enamored by Arnold. He really didn't care about how he played. He was engaging with everybody. Now, that was a great human being.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that what it's about?
I was like, people didn't believe me. Yeah. I had the pictures.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Do you know
me
who
and
else
the is? King for 5 hours.
Jack Nicklaus is the same way.
I haven't had a chance to meet him, and he's on my bucket list.
Same way, though.
But now I'm going to get media passes, and nice. I want to go to next year. All the golf tournaments, I want to hit them all.
Beautiful. And you should be able to do that. It's a little, it's not as easy. Hard yet.
Yeah.
Innisbrook, and they'll be
and
back.
Golf Channel and Golf Week guys are on my side. So they'll support my credential requirements.
That it's so cool. Innisbrook is beautiful, right? I'm sure you've seen it or
oh,
no?
Oh, yeah.
But oh, my God.
I want to be at every tournament from now on, and I'll be the guy. Our show's got a lot of light humor. It's two pros and a hack, and I'm the hack. And the guys on the Golf Channel will come on every week and do a promo because they loved what
beautiful.
I talk about. I go, yeah, I'm the hack, and I had two nice pros, and they could talk serious golf. And then I'd throw out a hack question. And you know, ever met Eric Casilius?
Oh,
I had Eric.
I was on the same station as Eric.
I had Eric.
Still CBS Sports
yeah, he's CBS
HQ?
Sports. Yep.
Still living up in Stanford now. He sold his Orlando place.
Yep.
Divorced with the
beauty.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, he wasn't even dating her. This was 2011, my interview with him, and we brought it up, Holly. And
Holly Saunders.
Yeah, we brought it up.
Google her.
Oh, my God. I brought it up on the air. She's a four-handicap golfer. She played at Michigan State. She's a.
That I didn't know.
I said, oh, my word. He goes, get in line, pal. he said, everybody. And then he ended up getting divorced and ended up with her.
He did, and then he got divorced. And he used to say on the radio, he's like, I got a hot wife. And my wife's like, oh, is he saying that? And I'm like.
Want to see a picture?
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. My wife's the best, you know, best, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, and then she ended up going with a guy in Vegas, some Vegas
gambler.
Guy. And that's done now. That's
what is
done.
It?
Yeah. She does an OnlyFans. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God. Did you go to the PGA stop the year before the pandemic when Tiger was making his run?
Up
and you're
Bell
a golf
Bar?
Guy. Yeah. Did you go?
No. I hadn't gotten on board yet.
Oh, you weren't doing this yet?
No, I wasn't rewinding my thought process, and I'm thinking.
It was unbelievable.
And
I have covered big, big, big things. To see the gallery, that's another one with the aura. To see the amount of people. When he's walking across, it's five deep. It's five deep from where he's teeing off to the damn green. And Tiger. He does not make eye contact because he would be looking like this the whole time. And the thing that I noticed about it, Mike, since you're a golf guy, it blew me away. Everybody has got their phones up when he's putting, okay? And when he did his interview, he's like, the one thing that I miss now, there's no more golf clap. You know if somebody makes a
he
nice
did
putt,
say that.
Yeah, because everybody's got their phones off. Oh, delicious, man. Thank you.
Tell the boys in about
Copper
five,
tail.
7 minutes. We'll throw them on. About 20
beautiful.
After. About 20 after.
Delicious. Thank you, man. Thank you. So good.
Okay, so I got to tell you, this young man, Zach Johnson, you may have heard of him. So Zachy is from Des Moines, Iowa. Well, he's from Cedar Rapids. He went to Drake University. So I knew him before he even got to the, what was the tour then? Oh, the web.com tour. So know him well, been on my show many times.
Yeah.
He's a huge Hawkeye fan, so I'll have him on sometime this fall. We'll talk football. He doesn't want to talk golf. But he said, Tiger Woods? I said, what's it like playing with Tiger Woods? And he said, I'll tell you what it's like. He said, I'd rather play with Tiger any day of the week. Because if you're in a twosome, threesome, whatever, behind or ahead, just like you said, you can feel, Zach said, the ground shaking. You probably experienced that being out there.
Oh, yes.
He said it's like a thundering herd. He said it's almost frightening.
Wow. It blew me away. It was really something to see. That's what I'm saying about the greats. The greats, they're at a different level, just like Brady. I got a story about Tom Brady that Well, whatever. This is your show.
No, I want to hear them. That's why you're here to tell stories. I'm just a slub that's asking questions.
Brady, okay. 2 years ago? Brady had never played at Raymond James Stadium. This is okay, and the Patriots were coming in. A night game. They all come off the bus. NFL players, they usually have headphones on. They're coming off the bus. They're doing their thing. Brady goes out with an equipment guy, comes into Raymond James Stadium. Here he's been playing like 17, 18 years, okay? I saw him. He's in a suit, comes in, goes out onto the field, looks up at the sky. There was possible rain. Brady goes over and is checking the turf, goes over into the end zone, checking the turf, looking at the flags, looking at everything. Then he calls the equipment guy over and there. Like the little details of
attention
the
to detail
of the greats. That's how it is. That's how it goes. You know what I mean?
And the greats are that meticulous about their craft.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's music. Or what you've done over the years. All right, as we wind things down,
yes.
Tell people how they can I'd like to do the plug, but
sure.
I want the man to do the plug.
Basically, follow me on social media. That's how to do it right now. I'm at Real Rock Riley on Twitter at Real Rock Riley, on Instagram at Real Rock Riley, Facebook is just Rock Riley, and I post several times a day. You got to.
So do
and
I.
You got to, and that's where you figure out what's cooking and what's going on, man.
All right, Rock. So you're my testimonial then. My girlfriend says, what'd you do all day? I said, I spent about 2.5-3 hours on my social media. Yeah, right. I go, I swear to God, you got to do it. I used to have interns. I don't have interns now.
Interns.
And you got to spend that time. Here's a couple old dinosaurs. You know, you've been on the airwaves for decades, and I've been doing this for 25, almost 30 years, too. And now we got to spend time bragging about ourselves. I'm like, this just doesn't seem right.
You know what I mean? But no, it's an honor. I wish you a lot of success here with St. Pete Sports Connection. You're doing it on your own. I give you credit because some old-timers do not. You're waiting for the station to hire. Nobody's hiring. Everybody's cut back. And you got to do it on your own, and you're doing it on your own. I give you credit.
Well, thank you, Rock. And I guess the reason, and you're doing it on your own, we know what people have enjoyed over the years,
right?
Our delivery. Our demographic isn't dead yet. We got a lot of young people, you know, hanging around us. But we do have a lot of wisdom and wisdom
the truth.
And history that we can share with people.
I know.
And these
know.
Stories, you know.
I know.
You can't make them up. That's what I tell people.
But here's the thing, though. You have to stay in the game. You have to keep going like you're doing, like I'm going to the Bucks and covering them. You got to still stay in the game. Because you don't want to be that get off my lawn guy.
Exactly.
You know what we did 20 years ago.
Have you ever seen the movie The Mule with Clint Eastwood?
I have not. I love Clint Eastwood, but I did not.
Great movie. You need to watch it. And it's a true story. And this older guy gets approached. You know, he's retiring, and he spends a lot of time at the VFW, and he gets approached to be a mule for some boys in the drug business.
Oh, I heard about this.
So it's an excellent movie. You'd enjoy it. Your wife would enjoy it. Anyway, he got done doing it, and Toby Keith and Clint Eastwood were out golfing. And Toby Keith says to Clint, how do you do it? He's 90 years old. They're all in Carmel golfing. And he says, you know what? Every morning I get up, I look in the mirror, and I say to myself, don't let the old man in. And Toby Keith says, that's cool. He wrote a song about it. And at the end of The Mule,
awesome.
That song from Toby Keith plays.
That
and now you know
awesome.
The rest of the story.
That's awesome. Well, no, I really, really, really appreciate it. I see you got some great guests coming up here, man.
Well, we don't know yet. It's TBD, to be determined. He's a Jersey guy. This is Rock Riley. He's a Jersey guy.
How you doing?
You're New York, right? We got Boston.
Where? Long Island. Strong Island, man. Big taxes.
Yeah, I don't live there anymore. I live here now.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I'm Jersey. Pretty much same thing.
And then here comes my Fenway Park, man. How many doubles has he had before I hand the mic over to him?
Lost count.
You know who my good buddy is? Tom Caron.
Right?
You know Nesson?
Yeah.
I worked with him years ago. He's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I had more doubles than Wade Boggs in 1986.
That's because all he did was singles.
You know what? My OBP today is about
975, I think.
See, this is what I'm a little nervous about.
I got Wade Boggs stories, but I'm not saying it.
Yeah. Wait, I'll tell you one thing about Wade Boggs, you know, being a Yankee fan. I always thought he was a little full of himself until I got to be involved with the Ted Williams Foundation.
Yeah.
Great guy, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Oh, he's the best. Great. He's great.
He looks like he can still play.
He's a character, though, man. He is a character. So I turn it over to your buddies here?
I don't know if we should or not. All right, Rock.
This is delicious, man. What exactly have I been drinking?
Coppertail Freedive IPA.
It's Coppertail IPA because it is delicious, man. Delicious. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
I don't know if we're going to use the term gentleman when we get done. You guys from the East make me nervous.
No. Why no? No.
All right, Rock. This has been a pleasure, my friend.
I'll
be getting a hold of you. We'll go have a bite to eat.
Best of luck, St. Pete Connection.
Thanks, man.
Killer.
All right. All right, I'm going to do a couple of take care of business here, and then I'll throw on. I think I'm calling them the Hammerhead Union Crew. Well, yeah, but you got your crew with you. All right. So let's take care of a little business. Boy, what a pleasure to have Rock Riley sharing those stories. And his podcast, as you can see, some of the people that he has interviewed over the years, he just has to go in his Rolodex and just very, very impressed. A couple of things I wanted to take care of business. I want to shout out to our alliance with the Florida Rising Stars, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, the NFL Alumni chapter, and, of course, the Clearwater St. Pete Sports and Events, and the Ted Williams Foundation. We've got great relationships, and we're going to be doing a lot of events with these organizations over the next few months. Got some real breaking news coming down in the next couple of weeks about where we're going to be. Next week, by the way, I won't be at Ferg's. I'm going to be up in at the Boys and Girls Club up in Pinellas and with the Florida Rising Stars. It'll be a great event, and I'm looking forward to that event. And then on Labor Day weekend, we're going to be down at the Pier, and it's the Pier 1 Grand Prix. Pier 1 Grand Prix and live boat racing, as well as we're going to have the watercraft races as well. I'm just hoping right now that we can get the Red Tide to move on. All right. Oh, one other plug I need to do. Definitely can't forget my man at BAT, and that's BAT Therapy. I talk about it each and every week. He's got a special going on right now, if I can dig him up here. How many doubles has he had? More than Wade Boggs. Anyway, massage therapy, it was BAT therapy. It stands for Body Armor Therapeutic Therapy. It's Dan Nicola. He's the genius behind this chronic pain relief. And I'm an avid fan. I've been doing it now for about 6 weeks. But right now, he's got a great offer. It's a 30-minute consultation. That's $119 value with 30 minutes of BAT therapy. The session is $92 value, and it's all for $99. That's a 50% savings. And it's at Paradise Spa, Full Spectrum Spa. Spa. It's right down by where I live, 107th Avenue in Treasure Island. He'll evaluate your body armor, break it down. For more information, log on to battherapy.com. I go Wednesdays, and this will be about my 10th appointment, I think. And I tell you what, Dan does a superb job. And that phone number is 727-360-4300. It works wonders for my beat-up old jock body, and it will for you as well. So don't forget, next Saturday we're live from the Boys and Girls Club in Pinellas Park with Florida Rising Stars. Of course, the Glazers, owners of the Bucks, and their contributions. They remodeled this facility, and it's fabulous. And then Labor Day weekend, we'll be live from the Pier as we partner with St. Pete Clearwater Sports and Events, covering the P1 Grand Prix boats and wave runners. And I look forward to the relationship with Tim Ramsberger and all their events. We'll talk about the ESPN softball tournament in February up in Clearwater. And that's our plugs now. All right. Without further delay, you'll start out with the introductions. Hit the ON button, and let's rock and roll. You guys had to drive an hour and a half?
A little bit more than that.
Yeah.
Is this thing working?
Yeah.
All right.
Now all you got to do is do the work, brother. Ryan Bowman, now what's your nickname? Everybody in your crew's probably got a nickname, am I right?
I got a couple. I'm Rybo. My nickname from back in the day. My nickname from back in the day is Beerman.
Beerman. Well, that's appropriate. We got Coppertail beer here, so Beerman. Plus, I do like that timepiece.
Thank you.
Don't fall asleep tonight, since I'm right around the corner. I might be slipping in 116. I got the passcode. So tell me a little bit about the history of what in the hell is the Hammerhead Union?
That's a good
All
question.
Of a sudden, I got pulled into this little fraternity of some sort, thanks to my man here, Will Law, and it's kind of enjoyable seeing you guys go back and forth at each other.
Well, thanks for asking. First of all, thanks for having us.
Today. Of course.
That's fantastic. Ferg's having us. Coppertail Brewing Company, the beer of Hammerhead Union. What's that? I can't hear you. I have headphones on, just so you know.
All right. You mute. You talk.
So basically, let me get this out there.
Just talk right into the microphone.
The Hammerhead Union is a group of a nationwide network of dynamic human beings. Pretty much do everything a little bit different than everybody else. All right.
Well, okay. I'll give you the part.
Do
everything
different. Example. Some people might help an old man across the street and send him on his way. We take Jose and we put him in the car and we bring him to the Hamptons house and we sit pretty girls in his lap and give him the time of his life. Bring him home, put a T-shirt on his back, and send him backpack.
A memorable experience.
Yes, we're the mailman who you know on a first name basis, who knows your kids' names. Who
sounds like Iowa.
Yeah.
Except you guys are all.
Mean, you give them a Christmas present.
You're from Long Island, though.
I'm from Long Island.
Long Island.
Strong Island, New York, S-I-N-Y.
Now let's talk about your sport affiliations. Okay. You're an Islanders fan?
I am an Islanders fan.
Yankees fan?
No.
No Mets. You're Mets.
Mets fan.
Horrific colors, but at least this year you're on top of the East.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're the amazing Mets.
They were amazing. They're not amazing. But anyway. Knicks or Nets?
Spoken like a true Red Sox fan. 86, by the way. Knicks. Does it really even matter anymore?
No. I get the post every day. I think the Knicks are on the rebound, and I love the coach. Thibodeau is a great coach, and I like what he's doing there. They play defense. They're like New Yorkers. They play hardball right now, and all they need to do is get a little offensive injection into their team, and they'll be in the playoffs every year. What Thibodeau at the
Glad you're confident about it, because I stopped watching it.
Well,
about 10 years
you guys,
ago.
My best friend is from Long Island. You guys are a lot more cynical than the average cats.
We are.
Yes.
We are. I had to renounce the Jets in 96. So.
See? Bandwagon riders, renounced.
The Mets in 7.
Okay, so what do you do for a living, young man?
I dabble a little bit in real estate.
We can do a little plug for yourself.
Thank you. I'm in real estate. I work for Alliance Realty Group. We specialize in relocating people from other parts of the country to down here.
You work for the feds?
An awesome part of the country. The what?
You work for the feds? Relocating people all over the country?
Yeah.
Hey, I had that offer one time.
Yeah, don't ask about that again.
Okay.
All right.
I certainly won't. Okay, so you're a realtor, and my biggest question is, you outkicked your coverage. Where did you find the beautiful Molly at?
You know, I get this a lot. I'm a classic overachiever.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
We all are. This guy over here, Pasta, says the same thing all the time. The only nice thing he's ever said about me is that I have a beautiful wife.
He has a beautiful wife.
Literally.
Well, that might be the only – once I get to know you, that might be the only thing I ever say about you.
Thanks. At least you're talking about me.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So how long have you guys all known each other? Did you know each other up north, or it just happened here?
30-plus years, since 1987.
Really?
Junior high school.
Reagan administration.
You all went – thank you.
Reagan administration, yeah.
You're not that old.
Not him. Well, we recruited this guy, the Kim, like we always do.
In the first round
we find
year.
Randoms, we bring them home, and we make them part of the family.
All right. Go ahead and let –
Skippy Melrose?
So this is Skippy Melrose.
He's a hockey expert.
Hockey guru, fantasy hockey guru.
Well, his real name is Ken.
Ken McDonald. He's
a
Southie from Boston. He's a potato head. He goes to the bar. He drives a car.
Well, I tell you what.
And he's dying to tell us some stories.
Okay. You get two stories, young man.
Tell him about the NHL.
And keep your language proper.
Mike, thank you for having us on, Hammerhead Union. And thank you for joining the union, by the way. Friends call me Kenny Mack. Yeah, Boston born and bred. Boston City Hospital. South Boston. You know, I escaped Whitey Bulger a few times. I won't get into that on the air because I don't want any trouble, you know.
Don't worry. I don't think he's going to get you anymore.
So I moved from Massachusetts a couple of years ago. Came down to Cape Coral, Florida. And this is going to be a surprise, Mike, but I met these guys in a bar. Okay? So we
Why do you think I never set up at the bar normally? I just set up the bar today so you guys would be comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I appreciate your accommodations, you know. So we were at a bar. I saw Johnny over here in his Giants hat. I'm in my Patriots gear. You know, the beauty of Florida, you got fans from all over the world, you know, whatever. So I went up to start, you know, busting his chops a little bit about the Patriots and Giants. You know, I know we lost a couple, but, you know, Mike, I want to tell you, you call it Tampa Bay. I'm from Boston, 12 championships since 2002, I might add. 12. That's six.
And all storied franchises, I'll agree with you there. But basically, this is a town of startups if you want to go with the history of sport. So we'll stick with Tampa Bay, too.
Okay, Mike, they were all startups at one point. So you know what? So I met John. You know, we started having a couple of cocktails. I know that's a shocker. We did some shots. We got in some trouble. The bartender shut us off. But we became friends. They got me to join their FanDuel Football League. And, they made me. And I can tell you more about my Gimpy Melrose algorithms in a little bit. But I
may be hitting you up on that because my son just invited me to be in his 30 and younger group, and I told him I'm going to kick everybody's butt. So
let me tell you, Mike.
I'll need your algorithm. You know, I don't need him now, but I want him.
Everybody has a system, but nobody has a Gimpy Melrose system.
Well, nobody has that name. I assure you that.
Mike.
Mike Melrose.
Listen. We all use statistics and all that stuff. But the Gimpy Melrose, the beauty of my system, I use statistics and factors from on and off the ice, okay? So
you're just a hockey guru.
I'm a hockey guru, but I am climbing the ranks of our MLB league. So, you know, if we have time, I will go into further, you know, detail about my algorithms. But, you know, for any of people that were listening, you can call 1-800-USCORE for a first tip. You know, the first tip's free. You know, Mike, the beauty of my tips, you could be struggling on and off the ice. You might be struggling with your wrist shot. It might be a limp. I'm kind of like a life coach and a sports coach.
Oh,
so
God.
You call Gimpy Melrose, 1-800-USCORE.
I'll be sure to do this.
Mike, I'm like Viagra on wheels, okay? So you call me. You know, I don't want to listen, Mike. I don't want to give away too much free. The first call's free. I'm going to pass it on to my mentor, Mr. Casey. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Gimpy. I have a hard time calling.
Isn't
Gimpy.
That great? I love it.
Ken,
love it.
Thank you, Ken, for your and we can talk about the algorithms at another date. But anyway, so young man, you guys all went to junior high together? Is that
went
a fact?
To junior high school.
I don't know what's coming
wrestled,
out of your.
We were on the same wrestling
second.
Team, guy.
I don't know if what comes out of your pie holes is fact or fiction, so just give
no,
me.
This is straight facts.
This is facts. Okay.
We, you know what? It may sound so ridiculous, but it's facts.
Well, I like stories like this. I love lifelong friendships. I've got a ton of them. Fortunately, you guys obviously do. So hockey, or just wrestling?
No, we were on the same wrestling team back in junior high school. I met him. He had this crazy mohawk, and he was freaking nuts. And some guy
he was a wrestler.
Some guy had Taco
like a
Tuesday.
Hoopster.
Taco Tuesday, and he threw up all over the mats, and we had to leave the freaking wrestling. It was horrible, awful. Brian Prunty, remember that?
Boy, thanks for that visual.
Yeah. We have these mat drills, and boom, 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 and next thing you know, throws up everywhere. But
not me, Brian Prunty.
Brian Prunty. But that's when I met Ryan during wrestling practice and wrestling training.
Well, that's a detail I'm really glad to hear about.
Best shape of my life after wrestling.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, my background is boxing, but my brother was a wrestler, and I was wrestling states.
Yes. Yep.
I lasted in the wrestling room for about, I think it was about 15 minutes. One of my best friends and I were pairing off.
Yep.
He got me smashing my face into the mat.
Right.
I jacked him 4 times in the jaw. The coach grabbed me and said, get the hell out of my wrestling room.
Yeah.
I'd never been down like that. I didn't know any moves. I didn't know how to escape. My brother wins the state championship, and I end up boxing.
Awesome. And then, you know, he used to drive me to school every single day. He was my personal Uber driver during junior high school and high school.
That means his
– He's the only guy with the driver's license.
Say, his family had money, yours didn't.
No.
And he had a car.
No, we –
January birthday and a driver's license at 16.
Yep.
I always hung out with a guy named Sticky New because
that's great.
Sticky was a loser, but he had a car,
yes,
and he would take me to pick up my dates.
Absolutely.
No, you look a little bit better than Sticky did.
Yep. But so.
Okay, so let's talk about where did you guys go to high school at that? Where did you go to high school?
Well, Sachem High School in Long Island, New York, at Holbrook, Holtzville, near the, you know, first 20 minutes from the first West. Lake Ronkonkoma, 20 minutes from the Hamptons, basically. That's a reference point, you know, where we were. We were right in the middle of Long Island, so.
Okay,
yep.
My buddy got married right in the middle of there.
Yep.
He went to high school with Gotti Jr. What?
Dotty who?
John Gotti Jr.
John Gotti Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he went
Teflon Don. Old Teflon Don.
Yeah, he went to high school with him, and I got some stories off the air about that. Anyway, so then high school, and then when did you move down south?
I moved down here in 2003. I was down here on vacation, looked around and said, this is it for me. Bought two pieces of property, went up north, put it in a transfer, and I was down here in 90 days. Ready
good
to rock
you.
And roll.
Leading the contingency. Were you the first one down, or were these boys already down here?
That was me. I'm the recruiter. Yeah, I had to go up to Maryland during the Super Bowl. It was the Patriots versus the Rams, and I went up there and I gave him my speech about how he should be here. And next thing you know, 2 weeks later, he's mailing me $20,000 to buy a piece of property and building a house next door to me. So we can.
That was his relocation money.
Yep, relocation money. But I gave him his change back. $1,341.32. Nah. It's all about having a good time and a lifestyle.
So give me how this Hammerhead Union came to fruition.
Well, when we were younger, we would throw these parties and we'd
Having
all these events, and everybody would gravitate towards us. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go hang out with the Hammerheads, and we're going to go play ball with the Hammerheads. And everything was about gravitating towards the Hammerheads. So we you know, since then, we've always been known as the Hammerheads. And then we would have all these sports leagues and football leagues and hockey leagues, and it was a Hammerhead league. So every time they heard that name, they gravitated towards that. And we are here today, so.
How many years have you been doing the Hammerheads?
1987.
That's pretty impressive. I thought this was just like a drinking gang
in
Cape Coral.
It's a lifestyle.
No, that happened to be
from
the Northeast. So I'm glad that you clarified. First of all, very impressive that you've kept it together this many years. And that says a lot about friendships, which I'm huge into.
It's community.
Loyalty.
Yes.
Loyalty, friendships.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing more important in life, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even though you guys might be a unique group of
it's
individuals.
A lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of fun, of having fun. You know, everything's fun. You know, playing sports and having a good time and, you know, uplifting everybody, you know.
Does music play into it?
Music plays it. We have people that play guitars on there.
Yeah, you know what? We're big in our world. We've got Sunshine 96.7 FM by Mark Ferguson, a friend of mine. We have concerts here, too. I said, you know what? It's amazing. You guys got to agree, as we're all collected here right now.
Yep.
That sports and music
during
these BS times we live in still bring people together.
Yep.
They bring people together.
Yep.
Hey, you want to give Ryan the mic for a second?
So I was going to say, that's one of the biggest things that we're about now that we've all come back together.
And now you're getting older and you appreciate it more.
Remember, I said we're nationwide. We're in 30 states.
Really?
We have people everywhere. We have handymen who will fix your fridge for a better price than you get somewhere else, and they make you laugh while they do it. We have computer nerds who will fix your computer and leave a six-pack in your fridge on their way out.
Remember
that's
this,
the kind
Ryan.
Of people that we are.
The nerds run the world.
Yeah.
I talk to kids all the time and say, you're a nerd. My daughter was a nerd. She's got a law degree. She's going to be a doctor. I mean, yeah, the nerds run the world.
Nerds. We're riding horses and we're going to saloons without nerds.
So 30 years. Now, do you guys have like any 5-year conventions? You should. You should have them down here. You should have a convention down here.
We're bringing that down here. That's the next step of what this is about, bringing them down here. And then having the conventions and all the gatherings and we're going to do a cruise. We're going to do a Hammerhead cruise soon where we'll bring everybody together and do that, and then we'll branch out from there. So that's what we're looking at.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM. Nice, humid, gorgeous day in downtown St. Pete, and we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Of course, the Rays tonight take on the Cleveland Guardians. I could do an entire show on that topic, but I'm not going to today. There was a great Hall of Famer named Bob Feller, the heater from Van Meter. He's from Iowa. Used to have him on my show often. And old Bob, he passed at 96 years old. And I tell you right now, he would be pissed right now with this ridiculous. The Guardians, I don't know. They got a year to do it. I can't see them running with this name. And if you haven't done any background check on it, the Guardians are eight symbols as you come right by the field. And it makes sense to the people in Cleveland, but on a national basis, it certainly doesn't. And as I've mentioned before, when we talk about the tribe and we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, my daughter-in-law is Native. My grandson and my granddaughter are Native. I grew up in Sioux City, Iowa. I have a lot of friends that are Lakota. And, you know, when they start messing around with the Chiefs, which is basically a proud member of their tribe, you know, this thing's out of hand, but I'm not going to get into the political aspects of it. And I certainly know if I threw the microphone in front of these guys on that topic. Oh, wait a minute. We got to do a little promo for Free Dive IPA, Coppertail Brewing Company. That's my man, Will Law. And he provided free beer. Tell you what, that's a good endorsement for you, my friend, with great endorsement with Rock Riley having a sip. He likes his beer.
All right. Can you hit me that bucket over there?
Well, what else you want me to do? There we go.
Your job, please.
What is this?
So this is Onda Tequila Sparkling Grapefruit, dedicated by Onda. She was a nice young lady here that came by and gave this to us. I told her we would shout her out. She guess she wasn't entertained by the Hammerheads, and she left.
Sparkling tequila, grapefruit, 100 calories.
I'm not going to drink it.
I might sip one.
All right, crack it open. Let's crack it open.
Okay. So as we're doing this live radio, by the way, I think I mentioned we just formed an alliance with the St. Pete Clearwater Sports and Events. And down at the pier, you guys have to go down the pier. You got to take Molly down the pier before you leave town. We're going to have the Grand Prix of P1s and Wave Runners. And that is going to be a cool event. We'll be down there for 4 hours. You may not be able to hear me because they're so damn loud, but I'm looking forward to...
It's not necessarily a bad thing.
You think? You want me to mute my mic and let you guys ramble?
No. That'll get ugly quick.
No, and Joe would be up my carcass.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's one event. And then on 9/11, I can't say a whole lot about it, but I'm going to tell you, you'll want to be listening in the next couple weeks. I got a big announcement. Will knows about it down here. It involves pickleball and the fastest growing sport in America. There's 5 million people playing pickleball right now. Oh, my God, we're going to talk off air. You're going to be involved in this event then. You might have to come up on 9/11. Okay. Anyway, we're Billy McGee and Ferg and myself and an array of power brokers in the world of sport. In fact, I sat yesterday with a gentleman that for 40 years was the general manager and president of the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves, and he worked for Ted Turner, and he lives over in Tampa now, and he's going to be involved. We've got some amazing people. And pickleball is, they're projecting right now, John, 50 million people will be playing that sport. And think about it from an entry-level perspective. It's just a couple paddles.
Yep.
You're building a court.
Yep.
We're going to have a court out back here on 9/11.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say. I'll tell you off air. But I want you to get involved. I got people from all over the country. It's going to be...
Anything like that that's about helping people.
Well, you might want to bring a bunch of Hammerhead people up here. Because it's 9/11. It's for the blue.
We have Hammerheads that were there at 9/11 cleaning up, firemen, police in our group that were there.
Well, then we're going to get all this information to you. I'm going to show it to you when we get off here.
Of them walking around helping people clean it up.
Okay, perfect. We're going to do that for sure. Because we're giving back to the blue is basically what this fund is. And it's an enormous project. So, all right, so that's the up-and-coming events. Let's see if I have not taken care of business, because I'll tell you what. I know you guys couldn't hear, but when you get home, listen. Rock Riley has been in this business for almost 40 years, and he's unbelievable, from Jersey. But he talked about his interview with Michael Jordan. He actually got an audience with Jordan, which was amazing, so you'll want to listen to that. All right, so let's go back to we got to give the Red Sox – come on.
You want to give this?
I don't want to call him Gimpy. Let's give Ken.
Just do it.
He loves it.
All right, Gimpy.
His email address is GimpMania.
All right. So tell me your favorite of all time Boston Red Sox.
All right. You can call me Ken. Gimpy is not politically correct, but I am not politically correct. So what was your question? My favorite Red Sox moment?
Player.
Ah.
It's a tough one.
Come on now, Mike.
Top two.
Jim Ed Rice. Jim Rice.
I didn't think. I
wore
that's the
his.
Last, no, I mean, he's great, but that's the last person
hey,
I thought
hey,
you'd say.
Hey, in Little League, 1977, little skinny Kenny Mack playing shortstop and third base, wore number 14, Jim Ed Rice. You
that's
know what?
Name.
No steroids. You know what Jim Rice used to hit power? He ate meat. He ate meat, Mike, and he hit.
All right. How much do you know about Ted Williams?
I know a lot about Ted Williams. The last hitter hit 400. He hit 406. Ted Williams served in two wars. A lot of people don't realize this. He served both 3 years in World War II and the Korean War, a decorated flyer. That's why we named the Ted Williams Tunnel after him. So a lot of people say, ah, Ted Williams wasn't that great. If Ted Williams...
Incredible human being.
If he did not sacrifice those years of his career, he would have shattered all records. You know what? Imagine coming back from war and not playing.
Bob Feller did the same thing.
Bob Feller. A lot of them. A lot of the great athletes. And today, kids don't understand, you know what? A lot of us are turned off by modern-day sports, all this protest. You know what? He was an ultimate American hero, and I love Ted Williams.
I'll share a story with you. I was working with the Ted Williams Foundation, and I still do, and Dave McCarthy, who was actually in New Hampshire. He was the head of the state police, and he had a lot of stories from the Boston area with me. But he was Ted Williams' driver for quite some time, and he tells this story about when Ted lived up here in Florida. He loved to golf. Oh, so... Cheers. Is that our lady that provided us with this sparkling tequila grapefruit?
Oh,
beautiful.
We're doing promos.
Yeah, we'll be reaching out to you for a little advertising.
But I like it.
So anyway, here's the Ted Williams story, which you'll love. He was about 76 years old, and this friend of Dave's was and his wife were following him on the golf course. They watch him, gets up, and he hits a horrible shot, golfing by himself, takes his clubs, launches him into the water. And Mickey, who played hockey for he didn't play for the Bruins. He played for the Chicago Blackhawks. I can't remember his name right now. Right. Mickey and his wife. They watch Ted drive off, and Mickey says, I'm going to get those clubs out of there. And the wife says, no, you're not. He'll be back any second. And sure enough, just as they're driving up, here comes Ted, and he gets in the water, goes out and gets his clubs, unzips a pocket, gets his keys and launches the clubs back in the water, and Mickey went and got the clubs.
Well, can I tell you a story? So I think you mentioned I use a wheelchair. I was in an accident when I was 17. I played baseball up to senior Babe Ruth. I was a decent player, a good all-around athlete. I was mostly fast. But the one thing that I remember, I read Ted's book, The Science of Hitting, and I was a student of Ted. And that last year I played, I batted 225. But you know what?
you're not a very good reader.
You know what? You know what?
The one you got to learn Mike how to is, read.
You know what, Mike? The greatest thing, I remember all four of my hits that season. Yeah.
In detail.
Yeah, in detail.
All right.
Now, had 20 at bats.
Yeah. Now you're a New England fan. Give me the opinion of everybody on Tom Brady after the exodus. Of course, everybody's unhappy. However, are they still Brady fans though?
I'll give you my personal opinion. He's a health fanatic. A lot of people question his methods, whatever. But you know what, Mike? After watching Pablo Sandoval in his 350-pound body play third base for the Red Sox, and literally, this is no cliche, they ate his contract of $90 million. So the people that make fun of Tom Brady for being a fanatic, whatever he's doing, he's working. So... You know, it's not by accident. I'm a fat slob now, but when I played wheelchair sports, I worked. Yes, I'm answering this question now. Tom Brady, I have friends that say I root for the uniform, not the player.
I was that way with Brett Favre, and it was hard for me because I'm a Packer
fan. What?
My boys are like, you're a traitor. I pulled for him when he was with the Jets. Which is hard. The Vikings, the purple. But I, you know why? Because I pull for the old guys.
You know, Mike,
now,
go ahead.
Rock Riley that just left was talking about when Brady arrived, because he has media credentials everywhere.
Right.
He said he gets off the bus, and he's out there looking at the turf by himself. He has his own equipment guy,
Of course.
And they're looking at the forecast, the weather, and the wind, and then he goes and reaches in and gets his own cleats out.
That's right.
That's the attention detail that guys that are that successful, and that's the reality of Brady, whether you like him or not, he is the GOAT, and I don't care what anybody says.
Two quick points. One, the people that say, oh, they're cheaters or whatever. You know what? That is BS. You know, you underinflate a football, you throw it better. You know what?
Everybody's jealous.
You know what? It's jealousy. So, I credit the guy because he works at his craft 24/7. Is he fanatical? Yes. Can I live that style? Obviously, look at me. No, I cannot. I'm sitting here eating cheeseburger and drinking.
Attaboy.
So, I think
keep spending money, by the way, would you?
Yeah, I know. I'm spending money. Some of my friends back in Mass are saying, I don't root for the player, root for the uniform. But I was rooting for the Bucks. You know what? He and Gronk followed me down after I moved. I picked up the phone. I said, guys, it's unbelievable here. You got to come down. You got to come down. No income tax.
You guys really are relocation kings.
I picked up the phone. I said, you got to call my friend Casey. He's going to hook you up some real estate. So, I feel like Gimpy Melrose has a little bit of say in what happened for the Super Bowl for your Tampa Bay champs. And I love the Bucs. I think it's a great story.
Thank you very much there, Gimpy. And I'll tell you what, this week's going to be a huge week down here at Ferg's. Tuesday, Yankees in town, then the Sox. And I will tell you what, this place, you guys need to come up sometime. Typically, and Will's been here many times. It's 70% Yanks, 70% Red Sox. Phillies are that way a lot. If the Cubs come down, which is every couple of years, but absolutely inundate the place with Yankee and Red Sox fans versus the Rays fans because, you got transplanted people like yourself.
Any Mets fans?
You know what? Actually, when the Mets were here, and that was the first time in 2 years, only two-game series, and it was the fifth biggest crowd of the year.
Yeah, Mets travel well.
Yeah.
Mets travel well, even when our teams suck.
Well, and think about it. They hadn't been here. In 2 years, and it was a two-day series. It was Saturday, Sunday, bang, 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 and it was kind of cool seeing that many Mets fans. Yeah. And I love Pete Alonso just crushing it in the home run derby out there at Coors Field. Wasn't that great?
Nobody hits home runs like that. It's crazy.
And he's a great kid. Mm-hmm. Just last year, he gave $50,000 back to his high school, Jesuit High School, over in Tampa. It's Catholic school. But
he's a great
kid.
Great human being.
Okay. Pass the mic over. I got to ask him a question about his Giants.
Before we switch, do you want to know my algorithm, or we'll do that off air? Because
we'll do that off air.
I don't want to give it away on air because
that phenomenal.
You got to pay for my algorithm. Okay.
All right. Well, maybe we'll put together a money making scheme. Not scheme, plan. Okay. So I pick up the Post every day. So unfortunately, I don't get Packer information in there except a snippet like that. Rodgers still not signed.
Yeah.
So I read all the stories. What do you think of your Giants this year?
Well, you know what?
First of all,
great
I don't mean to interrupt.
Great coach.
Very good coach.
Great. Fantastic. The team, you get Barkley back, the draft picks. Again, I think we're staring at 7-9 and 8-8. Now, is that enough to win the division?
That division? Yes.
Oh,
I don't know. I can't stand the Cowboys, but I think they're ready for a run.
Yeah. You think so?
Well, I mean to win the division.
The way the division is.
Yeah.
You like the Redskins?
Oh. What'd you just call them?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
The football team. I'm sorry. The Guardians.
Same space.
I forgot where I was. I forgot what time it was. I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't offend me. But anyway, in that division, I think the Giants have a legitimate chance. But do you think Jones is the quarterback of the future?
I don't. I think Jones is a glorified backup. He's good enough to be in the NFL.
Well, you're a hell of a if you're carrying a clipboard, you're a great cat. You're a great quarterback.
I think he could come off the bench and do something, but I don't think he's the guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm an Eli Manning guy. You win two Super Bowls. You know what? You must be doing something right.
Guys, have any of you guys watched Eli and – no, it's not Eli. It's Peyton and Cooper Manning's College Bowl?
Yep.
That show cracks me up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those are the nerds that are going to run the world. Just remember that.
There you go. Back to that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
So.
Okay. So you do think your Giants have a
better year? 7-9 and 8-8.
You would have been all right last year if you wouldn't have injuries. Because everybody in the league's in that situation.
What the Eagles did when they pulled that stunt, with the
I can't stand the Eagles.
Oh my God.
Okay, we have watch parties down here at Ferg's.
Yep.
And we have big coalitions of Buffalo Bill fans, huge Eagles, of course Bucks, but the Eagles fans are the most. Yep. Obnoxious, rude people that come down here by far. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been in the stadium. Yep. Yeah.
And the Phillies, same thing. Nonsense.
Well, their AAA's right up here in Clearwater.
Yes.
At BayCare. Yep. And beautiful stadium, by the way.
Yeah.
And with Ted Williams Foundation, I spent until pandemic, I was there every game, and I met a lot of nice people from Philly, but a lot of obnoxious people.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to close out the?
Okay. There you go.
Do you mind if I do a shameless plug?
No, of course
not.
I
haven't sold anything yet. One of the big things about what we're doing here when we came together to do all this is we are making some of the most comfortable, stylish clothing out there. So shirts, hats, whatever people wear for a living when they're out and about, we're producing it, and we're going the extra mile and making it comfortable. We're making it good look, and we're shopping around. We're getting the right people. As you know, you've provided some of them for us. So I just wanted to say, our website comes out next week.
What's the URL?
It's hammerheadunion.com. It's not published yet. It drops next week. People will be able to
see
it.
I'll do a link for you boys now that I know what you're about. Yeah, I like that. We'll do a link from stpetesportsconnection.com as well.
Fantastic.
No, and that's just not just a – of course, every philanthropic group is around social events. So if it is around drinking, so what? Yeah. What do you think they have parties for all these?
If we drink beers
gala?
To people and give them T-shirts, then they buy more T-shirts. It's beautiful.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, gentlemen. Well, I got to wind the show down.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, thanks for
coming
up.
From Hammerhead Nation, from everybody. Pasta, you want to say something real quick? No?
Jamie,
oh, yeah.
You say something?
Good job. Perfect timing, guy.
You want to say something?
Flab,
you want to say anything?
Coming up for Virginia, Hammerhead Union, baby.
He said Virginia.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
We have Virginia on the phone. We have Arizona on the phone. So
you guys definitely are the worldwide Hammerhead Union.
Absolutely. We're going global.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. All right. It was quite a show. We went from Rock Riley to quite an interesting, diverse group. I'll just say that. Definitely diverse in their sports teams and the people that they follow. And I'm looking forward to furthering our relationship. As I mentioned, tonight, 7:10, first pitch, it is the Cleveland Indians. I'm gonna say Cleveland Indians the rest of the year because it'll be our last shot. Cleveland Indians against the Tampa Bay Rays in Cleveland. That'll be on at 7:10. And like I said, next week we will not be down here at Ferg's, but I'm looking forward to being up there at the Boys and Girls Club in Pinellas. And then I'm really looking forward to September 3rd and 9/11. With some very exciting news coming out of St. Pete Sports Connection. Sunshine 96.7 FM. And I want to thank Jay Cole for stopping down today before we went on the air. And, of course, Rock Riley. So, for Rock, the Hammerhead Union, Mark Ferguson, Joe Berdow on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard, thanking you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. And I wish you and your families a great weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship weekend.